Okay, so you chose to click on this podcast. I believe your exact thoughts right now are, this is unnecessary. Yes, it is. But if you still chose to persist, though, I believe I owe you an explanation as to why all of this is relevant. Let's see. Alright, finally, I'm recording this. I mean, I'm just gonna hope that this take goes perfectly. It's been like 3,000 takes, I don't know. I wasn't at all hoping I'd get started with recording this podcast, but apparently the world getting fucked up is quite a motivator. The world has seen some crazy BS, and I used to think, like, very strongly I used to believe that the emu versus human wars that happened in Australia, I mean, I think nothing would top that, but apparently the last few years have been, like, insanely crazy. Everybody has their geopolitical brains out, and the world is sort of trying to contain this destruction and help people and stuff, and also, like, refraining from pressing the red buttons because, well, that might end everything, right? Russia has decimated Ukraine. I mean, we all know that. That's what everybody's talking about right now. I mean, people are dying, there's no food, and the worst thing is that these countries are close to the fucking North Pole, dude. I mean, you'd expect having no food in the middle of series of bombings and gunfires would be like the worst possible levels of trauma. But the people who've actually lost their only homes and are sitting out in open with children and babies without food in the middle of gunfire and bombings. I don't even want to think about people who've had to deliver their babies in higher conflicted regions where I'm pretty sure the hospitals would have been insanely understaffed. Or worse, destroyed. I mean, the worst part is that the peacekeeping authorities have had to stay back because apparently there's a nuclear threat. And then there would be a billion lives at stake. Although that didn't exactly stop the US and the Europe to entirely obliterate Russia's economy. All these sanctions and bans that were imposed caused the Russian ruble to fall more than 40% while I'm recording this. I mean, I'm sure it's dipped even further now. The thing is that this is a modern form of war. Like, nobody even lifted a hand and they actually destroyed an entire nation. Although I am pretty sure Russia would find somewhere around it, but then again, that's a different thing. All that being said, now I'm gonna get into what exactly we're gonna be talking about. I mean, the thing is that everybody who's on the positive side of this entire conflict is supporting humanity, is supporting lives. We're trying to save lives. That's basically the idea. But the thing is, this entire charade has become bipolar. It's polarized now. I mean, there's a sect, there's a different sect that's supporting a certain kind of life. I mean we're generating a bias in humanity, and that's kind of worse, and that's something that could lead to what we are trying to stop. I mean, as to quote Star Wars, you're becoming the things that we swore to destroy. I'm gonna talk about how we misinterpreted humanity. Let's look at how the world responded to Russia's invasion in Ukraine. Russian planes are not allowed to land anywhere else in the world now, mostly. Which means if you're a Russian citizen who left the country somewhere before the invasion, you're not allowed to go back home now. But guess what? Life isn't exactly good back at home. There are people legit struggling to exist, even though the entire conflict is outside the country. I mean, the companies have retracted their services and shit, like they don't have products or productions or deliveries, like anything altogether. And these are the companies whose services we rely on every day. I mean, companies like Netflix and Airbnb and TikTok and Apple and Microsoft and Samsung. This essentially equates to the fact that Russians have lost their gadgets and services. And I mean, think about it. What would your life be if you wake up tomorrow and realize your iPhone isn't getting repaired anymore? Fuck it, Russian guys can't even take their girls to an Airbnb for a Netflix and chill. On top of that, the payment services have now been stopped. Visa and MasterCard don't work anymore. Russia has been isolated from the SWIFT system. Even Google Pay and Apple Pay wouldn't work. That means banks have to, like, entirely operate on cash. But the thing is that this new capitalistic world we are living in is very fragile, actually. It runs on this weird fiasco wherein you just have like 20% of cash that's actually available. Rest, everything is an abstract. I mean, we are loaning sort of from the future. It's an amazing thing. We're going to be talking about it probably. But the thing is, now you can't even pay in Russia. Although, I mean, pretty sure they'd come up with something different, a different mode of transaction soon. But the thing is, you can't pay in Russia. And that's horrible. Like, the prices are skyrocketing and you can't pay for food. That's horrible. But why am I sympathizing with Russians? Let's see. Russia spent around $7 billion of taxpayer money for the first few days of the invasion. And right at this point, it's spending about $20 billion a day of taxpayer money. I'm pretty sure it has even escalated, like, while I'm saying this, while I've posted this out. But think about it. That's nothing. That's nothing for the citizens. It's zero benefits for the citizens. It's actually way worse and insanely large losses for the economy. But the thing is, in Russia, first off, you don't have access to information like we all do. I mean, the news channels are probably portraying all of this mass murdering and destruction and chaos as some twisted form of liberation of some sorts, I guess. And the second thing is that Russian government forbids the citizens to go against the president, the head of the state. And that is why, my friends, there's nobody in Russia who's actively trying to protest, because first off, they don't have money. I mean, there's massive inflation and the currency is devaluing incredibly fast. And for those of them who have tried, they've gotten arrested in thousands. Like, a few weeks ago, they were arresting people in thousands. That's just horrible. Like, there's no freedom of speech. I mean, think about it. The rise of their president isn't exactly built on struggles and stuff. I mean, it's entire corrupting ideologies and greed and weakening the opposition and stuff. My friends, I beg you to imagine. Imagine you're a middle-class Russian, a breadwinner. You have a job at the MNC, the closest MNC. You're like a regular middle-class, spending 80%, 20%, you're saving. That's your life. One day, you wake up and you realize that your company isn't there anymore. In fact, none of the companies are there anymore. Everything just stopped existing without a prior warning or notice. You Google what's up, but bam, Google is blocked. You switch on the news to see what's up. But well, the country news says that the country is on a righteous path and it's being punished by the evil West. That infuriates you, obviously. But your primary concern is to get food for your family, to get food on the table. But guess what? All the money that you saved up until this point, its value has been massively reduced. You try to probably use Amazon or something. I mean, obviously Amazon stopped working, but like, let's just say they have their domestic online ordering app or something, like grocery app. But that's not working because you can't pay online. So you go to withdraw cash, but everybody is doing the same thing. You've essentially reached a point where you don't know what to do and you have no idea why that's happening. And you blame the West because that's what the officials are selling. Some of you might blame the reader. Some of you might dig in a little deeper and realize that there's a lot more to this than what's being told. But the police are going to show up and now you're going to be serving a weird sentence for treason against the nation. For just like discovering the truth. Yes, that is the life in Russia. I mean, I know Ukraine is destroyed. I know, I understand people are in pain. And yes, it's a horrible, horrible, heart-wrenching mess. But it's not in Russia. It's not the Russians. It's their leader. It's the oligarchs, probably. It's the weird propaganda. It's not the citizens. I mean, think about it. The leader is causing chaos not just outside, but also their own people. Like, that's what is being done. The worst thing is Ukraine might get help. Like, even though it's being destroyed, people would eventually come back home because, I mean, this is not going to last for much longer. That doesn't seem that way, unless, of course, there's a world war and everybody dies. But, like, the best possible case scenario from this point seems that it's going to end, and it's going to end in the side of Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is going to win and people are going to get back to their homes. Everybody is going to help rebuild Ukraine, rebuild it better than ever, probably. The thing is, it doesn't seem people of Russia are going to be enjoying the same amounts of sympathy and empathy. And that saddens me. I mean, that's just deeply depressing to realize that we're just gonna be very biased in humanity. I'm sure there are people who had nothing to do with the war, who had nothing at all, no political interests, no agendas, just wanted to live their lives peacefully. And they realized everything that they have worked for has been taken away from them, and they have no idea why. They don't have access to information. They don't have access to asking for information. They don't have access to disseminating information. And that's just incredibly sad. I just hope that when this podcast reaches outside, we develop sympathy, we develop empathy, we talk about what's right, we talk about humanity, we try to not get distracted from what we're actually fighting. We're fighting the threat to lives, the threat to humanity, not a race of people. That's all. Thanks a lot.